Father, we just want to thank you for our brother that has been so faithful to us and consistently came through every time we had a need. And so we ask that you would release a grace upon him tonight to just bless him and his family, his wife, his church family, and all those that are a part of him. May they be blessed as part of the I Am ministries all over the nations. The growth there, that it should continue, and the supply lines would continue to stay open. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Today, welcome. Could you give our man of God a big clap offering, please? We won't even bother hiding it. I
want to give honor to God who's in the house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your love. Thank you. We rejoice tonight that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Lord is pleased that you've created an atmosphere here where he's comfortable to come and be with you. And there's more happening than you can understand at this time. You're part of the light that God's bringing to the Springfield and surrounding area. I believe that a sovereign gift of repentance is going to come to this area, that many will be swept into the kingdom. I believe God is knocking at the door of many hearts of Christians, and that many are going to begin to open up to the panoramic view of what God's doing in this hour. Bob Mumford once was praying years ago, and he said, God said to me that, Bob, you and I are not compatible, and I change not. And so, what God's doing in this hour is really expanding us that we can be a contemporary with him, that we can walk with him and know him and understand him. I wanted to share a few things with you before I begin tonight. One is, you've given myself and our ministry, so I wanted to give to this ministry here. I brought some things I leave here maybe for your library and you just can take turns reading. One is Standing with Israel by David Brock. He is not a believer. He's a Jew. This tells the history of how the church has treated Jews. And in here his thesis is born again Christians have a genuine love for Jews. And we Jews need to accept this love. The greatest friends we have in this earth are not political countries, but born-again Christians. Wonderful book. And when you read in here the atrocities that were done throughout history, you understand more of the Jewish mindset. It's an excellent, excellent book. So I leave that here for you. My father in the Lord, his name is Wade Taylor. He was just 85 years of age. And if you have a pencil, I'd urge you to write down his website. He has a website, wadetaylor.org, W-A-D-E-Taylor.org. And he has morning and evening devotions on there, deeper life teachings, and then he has articles on various things. I'd urge you to read it if you want some stuff that's different than the ordinary. That would be excellent. He has also written three books, and I want to leave a copy. Maybe some of you have seen. This is the first one he wrote, The Secret of the Stairs, A Guide to Spiritual Growth, based upon the Song of Solomon. Excellent. And in here, you kind of if you read this, you kind of understand, oh, this is what's been happening. This is a process God's bringing me through to bring me to maturity. Excellent. Excellent. And a second book that he wrote is called Waterspouts of Glory. Several topics in here, and it's like a map. Spiritual food for our journey. All kinds of topics that are here to help us to understand, like developing a personal prayer life, the secret place, qualification for his kingdom, the purpose of his dealings. Sometimes we go through things and wonder, why are we going through this? The Father has a purpose. Excellent book. And then he's just written another one in the last year or so called Unlocking the Mysteries of the Kingdom. Where are we in prophetical time? what's about to happen. And I prayed much for him while he was writing this, because he said, I'm writing about what I don't know about. And he's been speaking in my life for over 40 years. And he spends time every day just waiting on the Lord. And I want to urge all of us to wait upon the Lord. Proverbs 8:17 and verse 21 says this. 17 says, I love those who love me, who seek me early. Not just early in the morning, but early in every situation. Who seek the Lord. Verse 21, that I might fill their treasuries with substance. God wants to give an impartation in our life. You know, if you have an anointing, that's good. Anointing helps you to speak better, give more understanding, but there's something beyond that, and that's impartation. That the very life of Jesus can flow through us into others, that others can receive. And sometimes you can go to a real good service or hear a message, and when you get done, you really don't know what was said, but you know you were fed. That's because you receive spirit and life. And where we're at now is Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Look up, and I will show you things that soon must come to pass. Horizontal things, we've kind of come to an end. And God is revealing now things that soon must come to pass. It's the end of man's kingdom, the beginning of God's kingdom. And his glory analogy is going to cover this earth, even as the waters cover the sea. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. And very important for all of us to know that in the garden, when they ate of the tree of good and evil, they got there, they had a choice, and they made the choice that from now on, I will choose what's good and evil for me. The Lord told them not to eat of that tree, but eat of the tree of life. And we are the branches. He's the vine. We need to be connected with him and draw strength from him. It would be good to take communion often. And when you take communion, it would be good to say, Lord, by a direct act of my will, I want to be detached from the tree of good and evil. I do not want to choose for myself. I want to be attached to the tree of life. I want to be attached to you. I want to live by every word that comes down from heaven. And when we take communion, Lord, I see this bread, but you said it's your body, and I receive it as your body. I see this cup of the vine, but I receive this as the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for the remission of my sins, and receive an impartation of spirit and life. And I believe God is enriching people physically, spiritually this day, who will enter in to have a communion more often. I would urge you to do that, even on a personal basis. Don't receive it as symbols, as a cracker and grape juice, but receive it, as the Lord says, as his body and his blood that was shed for you and for me. It's also very important, brethren, that we spend time with God and say, God, deal with my self-life. I give my self-life back to you. I want that crucified in me. Deal with me. Bring me in alignment with you. Bring me in position with your life, your character, your substance. I don't want to have this self-life. And in America here, we all been taught kind of wrong. We have godly hearts, but we have Egyptian heads. And we have to have an academic approach to God. We've got to figure out why is that, whatever. We need to respond from the heart and say, Father knows best. That's the word for me today. Okay. I will gather gopher wood and build the ark, or whatever God asks me to do, rather than have to always figure it out. And if we can deal with the self-life, really the Christian life can be summed up with this. I live and yet not I. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live, and yet not I, but Christ is living his life out in me and through me. God will never violate our will. We have to give ourselves back to him. Deal with our self-life, Lord. I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much, He wants to mold us and make us into the very image of His dear Son. And that is the place where we'll be satisfied and fulfilled. You know, the carnal nature, we're always seeking this. I got to have this food, this car, this whatever. And when we get it, it doesn't satisfy us. Eternity's been put in our life, our heart. And only when we are open to the eternal God to fill us can we ever be fully satisfied. So thank you, Lord. A lot of these things we see in His life are mirages. When you get them, they're empty, they're vain. Solomon said, everything is vanity, it's empty when you get it. But God is real, tangible, wonderful. We were designed to have fellowship and communion with Him throughout eternity. And sometimes we don't feel close to God, but it's because we're not compatible. We have things in us that are not of the same substance that He is. Oh, Lord, come. I open myself up to you. I say, come and make your abode in me. And He says, if we hear that knock, He'll come in and sup with us. He'll sit with us. He'll commune with us. You know, the older I get, I want to be known and loved and appreciated. I don't want to be just known as a grandpa who gives things. But I want somebody to really know me. And that's the way God is. He wants us to really know Him. You know, rather than pray for this or that, we ought to pray and say, Lord, increase the capacity within me to receive all that you have for me. Oh, Lord, wow. Yes. Yes, Lord. So, I just want to urge you to continue on in your life. Pursue out your own spiritual life. Last year, we done something in Albany. For the first time, we had a night to bless Israel, to honor Israel. And this is a DVD I'm going to read with you. It's about a five-minute thing that is a highlight of the service we had last year. And we're going to have it again October 25th. And I'll leave these here if any of you... It'd be worth the trip to come to Albany to go to it. I'll tell you how the service went last year. We had the Jewish Federation come. We had Pentecostals. We had Evangelicals. A few rabbis come. One rabbi gave this testimony. As I was driving into this church, I said, I don't know why I'm even coming here. I've always said I would never be caught dead in the church. I don't know why I'm coming. But he said, my life was changed last year because I saw that you Christians truly love us as Jews. And he said, I'm going to invite at least 10 rabbis to come this year. And you'll see on this, one of the head rabbis in New York City was there speaking. He says, God doesn't rule the world by whimsies. Learn to connect the dots, brethren. This is not a political gathering. This is a house of prayer tonight. We're here with our God. We also had somebody from the Israeli embassy came. We have that again this year coming. And when we got all done last year, the Jewish Federation, the leader said to me, said, why don't we consider in the future having a tour of Israel? And you folks, we come together and go to Israel. I mean, that is break. You know, God wants unity, a breaking down of dividing walls. He's breaking down between Jew and Gentile. You know, God's ultimate purpose that all synagogues will be messianic. There'll be a day when the blinders will be taken off and they'll know who their Messiah is. So if we can reach across, and that night we didn't preach about Jesus. We just showed the love of God. We showed support and honor. We took an offering of, I think we took in $12,000 or $14,000, presented it to a rabbi and a leader from the Israeli embassy for an orphanage in Israel that takes in both Arab children and Jewish children. That was a breakthrough for them to accept that for that home. And it was a breakthrough for Christians to be given that to Jews. You'll see that on there. So I want to just urge you, and if you know Jewish people, just love them. We're all made of the same stuff. You know, we're all made of the same stuff. Just love them and let them feel comfortable in your presence. When we were going to do that last year, many people said, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. And, you know, what a... Well, one thing God's doing today, you know, there was something called replacement theology, where a lot of mainline churches and Catholics and different ones through the years said that the church has replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. But God's bringing correction to that, because we know that God has a plan for the Christian. God has a plan for Israel. God has, and in his kingdom is big enough for all of us. The Lord, we're open to that. And I brought along a little overview of IM that you can look at and see what's happening there. Well, we have a lot of activity now. New IM schools beginning in India, Pakistan. That could change the nation. Pakistan, wow. And one of the exciting things, we have about 8 people now in Toro, Uganda. And we've got 2 more couples going. And our goal there is to train 1,000 African young people over the next 5 years for them to be able to go to North Africa and the Middle East, to the Muslim countries. Because Africans can get visas, the Americans can't. So we're putting schools around the globe. You can take that if you have some interest. All this stuff is free. I'm not selling nothing. I'm just telling you what's going on in the kingdom. Is that all right? And here's our new newsletter here. I brought a few of them. You may want to read about. We had a building team go over this summer. My granddaughter and my son were on the team, as well as others. And they helped begin, put a foundation, got the walls up of a new building for Smile Africa, which takes care of 500 orphans. You know what now, brethren? There are nearly 20 million orphan children in South Sahara, Africa now, due to AIDS. There is family after family where a 12-year-old is taking care of his siblings because mom and dad are gone. This week, through Sunday night at Our Savior Lutheran Colony, I got a brochure on that too here. World Vision is coming in their big auditorium, set up a whole African village. And you go there and they give you earphones and you live the life of a child in Africa. You go in a room, you go in where they eat in different places, and you hear their story, how their mom and dad died and what AIDS has done and all that's happened. And when you come out, you have a burden. So they're stepping to Africa. Might be something you even want to bring to Springfield sometimes, World Vision. And that is going on all this week in Albany, if you'd like to go to that too. But sometimes we have to get in other atmospheres to get our heart expanded. Whew, Lord, expand. Jesus was moved by compassion. He had a gift of tears. You know, liquid prayers are good for us because you can see better then. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Wow. And so this tells about a lot of the various things that are happening. And Sharon Carlson, who's our vice president, she went down and we had a graduation in Haiti. We got a school down there in Haiti, and the graduation was about 100 graduates in Haiti. Had gowns, had graduation hats. I mean, these are people who never got a diploma for anything. And boy, they're so zealous for the Lord. And we have one couple that's going down there who set up a little orphanage just taking care of children. And they're starting chicken projects, helping families get a little flock of chickens so they can earn a living. And a lot of wonderful things happening around the globe. And I want to thank you for the seed that you folks have sowed into IM and into my life over the years. I thank you. And I'm appreciative of our relationship we have, and I want to keep our relationship. It's very important. If you got time, let's turn into Jeremiah chapter 8. We'll just look at a few things in Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was a man of sorrows. He lived among people who were morally debased. He lived among people who were indifferent to the Word of God. It sounds like America and Canada now, doesn't it? People are living against godly morals. They don't care about things of God. And Jeremiah wept often. He moved among the people and he begged them. He tried to persuade them, repent of your waywardness because judgment is coming. It's coming. Jeremiah poured out his soul. He was conscious of the sin of his people. And in Jeremiah here, he describes it. By chapter 8, beginning at verse 6. I listened and heard, but they did not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course. Israel at this time was completely indifferent to God's word. The birds know their destiny. They know who they are. But God's people did not know who they are. And he was brokenhearted over it. It would be good for all of us to pray sometimes, say, God, give me a gift of tears. Help me to be able to weep and see things as you do. Because here he says there's a complete breakdown. They refuse to know me. Look at verse chapter 9, beginning at verse 3. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are valiant for the truth. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth. And they proceed from evil to evil. And they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone taking heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with Flanders. Everyone will deceive his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. Going down to verse 6. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. You're living in deception. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. You can hear the heartache, the tears of the Lord. When you stop to think that God created people in his own image, he created us that we would come to know him and live with him forever, and then to see what people do with their life. It's hard. And as we grow like the Lord, I believe that our heart will weep with him. It's a wonderful thing when God can give you his burdens. We always want to give ours to him, but that he can give his burdens to us. And if you look over in verse 17, consider and call for the mourning women, mourning women. This situation is so bad. Somebody has got to cry this thing out. Somebody's got to mourn over this. Somebody's got to wail. Somebody's got to stand between this wickedness and between God. So he says, call for the skilled wailing women, that their tears may run, that their eyes might gush with water. Jeremiah 9:23. These verses now that we all know very well. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands me. You and I have a wonderful opportunity to know and understand God. A wonderful opportunity. Let's take our time and wait before him and read his word and pray and say, Lord, teach me. I don't want to live from the tree of good and evil, but from the tree of life. Lord, I want to know you more intimately. Whatever the circumstances are, whatever situation we're in, we can know God better. You might say, I've known God for 30 years, but you can know him better. You might say, I preach You can preach better. I pray, but you can pray better. There's more in God to be had. And His wonderful character and His heart of love, I want to know more of that. His wonderful character and His heart of love. He says, understand me that I'm a God who exercises loving kindness. I remember once when I was in college, a professor said something to his student, and I said in myself, I hate people like that. And immediately the Lord came to me and said, but I love people like that. And I melted almost into the tile floor. I learned so much about God's love in that one moment because of the correction He brought to me. God loves everyone. He loves everyone. May I have that same love in me. Oh God, give me that knowledge of Your loving kindness and judgment and righteousness. You know, the Lord, or the people have a standard. Money, power, politics, attainments. But true success is knowing and understanding God. I don't know if I told this story, I was here last time, but a while ago I went to visit a guy who is tough. Oh, I've been trying to work with him for years. He's tough. Spit in your eye, cuss you out. Tough man. We had a talk. And as I was leaving, going out the door, he says, hey, Jay, if I win the lottery, man, I'm taking you out for a night. On the town. And I said, John, would you really like to do that? He said, yes, I would. I said, you're on. It was not a time for me to say to him, I don't go out in the town, I don't drink, I don't chew. But what was he really saying? He was saying, if I ever hit a big J, I'd like to share with you and spend time with you. That's what his heart was saying. May God help us to see beyond the surface of people. You know, and even to know each other after the heart. Sometimes we offend each other, but let's know each other after the heart. I've offended people at times. I wasn't trying to, and I did. But you know, if you have a spirit of rejection in you, you get rejected pretty easy, don't you? Oh, God, help us to flow and get to know you. And there's a process of knowing God. It takes time. August 1st, I was 47 years old in the Lord. But I'm just getting to know Him. Oh, Lord, You've been so good to me. There's life after divorce. There's life after failure. There's life after jail. There's life after drugs. As long as there's life in you, God has something for you. There's still a destiny for you. I didn't know that years ago. I know that now. As long as there's breath in your nostrils, God has something for you. Wonderful. Praise God. And God wants to bring us into more encounters that we can know Him, understand Him, appreciate Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I've been through hard times with you, but I understand. I never knew what God could do until I went through some of these things. It's been good for me that my soul was afflicted, David said. Oh, for all of us in these days, that we might know and understand You, and that we would not glory in our wisdom and our strength. We would not glory, O God, in our riches, but Lord, that we would glory in that we know and understand You. We want to be like Moses, who knew the ways of God. The people were just looking for the axe, but Moses knew the ways. We want to know Your ways, Lord. Yes. In these days, brethren, just continue to pursue communion with Him. Oh, the wonder of God, who desires intimate friendship and fellowship with all of us. We've been created in His image, and He desires us, each one of us. I tell you, brethren, be open, because you're living in a time of divine encounters, more and more encounters. Be open. The Lord may speak in your room, in the night hours, or on your journey to the shopping mall, or wherever, but there's divine encounters for those who will be open to receiving from the Lord. And there's additional revelation that God's going to give us through the Word in these days ahead. We're going to understand the Word on a deeper level. Oh, Lord, thank you for that, Lord. That the Word will become flesh in us, Lord. That we can eat the book. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray tonight for Israel. We pray for the Jewish people, Lord, scattered throughout the world. We pray for their gathering in Israel. We make a commitment tonight, Lord, to stand with Israel, to honor Israel, to honor your people. And we ask you, Lord, for that wonderful day when they will know you truly, Lord. And 10 Gentiles will hold on to the skirts of one Jewish man. We long for that day. And Lord, I pray that we would be your friends, that we would know you, that we would understand you, Lord. Lord, help us to be like a Jeremiah who would weep for our neighbors and friends. Help us, Lord, to be like David who would pursue you out, who came to the point where he said, my soul and my flesh hunger for God. Bring us into a deeper relationship, we pray. I want to urge you, brethren, to know and understand God and refuse to be a product of this wayward generation we're in. I will not be molded by this culture that I'm in. I'm going to know God. I'm going to understand God. God shall be pleased with me. I want to know more of God. I want to be able to trust Him more. Job gone, and God's still there. God has a way to provide for us. And I'll tell you, God delights when we, by His grace, begin to exercise loving kindness as He does. That we begin to behave like He does and speak like He does. God wants to raise believers up into a higher level that our words and our life and our action are the very words and actions of Jesus. He wants to live His life out in us. So deal with our self-life, Lord. Deal with it. Pour in oil and wine. Heal us, Lord. Remove the dross, anything that is not in alignment with you. Crying out, Lord, for a deeper, deeper work. I want to seek you early, as it says in Proverbs 8, that you might fill my treasury with substance. Fill me, Lord. With substance, I pray. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight. We appreciate you tonight so very much. And I believe that this fellowship has not come into a full understanding of all the Lord has for you. I see in the Spirit here that this fellowship has been like a spear, a point, beginning to divide the darkness in this area. That the light can come in. God's going to raise up anointed leaders out of this house and send them forth who will know the hidden mysteries of God, who God would give them a prophetical tongue. I believe out of this house, God's going to bring servants who enjoy serving. The lost art of servanthood. I believe that this place is going to become more and more pleasing to the Lord. He's going to bring any correction He has to do, but He's going to put within this body more of a determination to fight the good fight of faith. A gift of faith for this house to believe. And I believe that persistence will be in this house. That when new ones come, they will learn to be persistent and to press on. And I believe as people come here, they'll learn to trust their Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus rebuked people for the lack of faith. Why? Did you not believe? O ye of little faith, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I want to leave this with you. I believe you as an individual and you as a body are needed. be encouraged, be strengthened to do the work of the ministry. And don't give up. Redeeming the time, for the days are waning. But let us redeem the time. Father, I pray for an open heaven. I just pronounce a Father's blessing on this work tonight, Lord, this house of prayer for all nations, upon the leadership, upon the parishioners, upon all the new ones that you will bring here, Lord. Father, I pray and believe you, Lord, that there will be even a greater work out of this house. There shall be an increase of numbers, Lord. And this will be a house of greater blessing, Lord, for all those that come here. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We're living in times, Lord, we know of trial and tribulation, but, Lord, you are setting up end time places where the word of the Lord can go forth, where people can be ministered to. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a place that has an end time calling. And Lord, the relationship that we have, the friendship that we have, Lord, I make a commitment to remain a friend, to work together, locally and globally, Lord, whatever you would have. In any way, Lord, I could be a help here. I make myself available to be an obedient vessel, Lord, to bless these dear people. I feel like the Lord would say to everyone that's here tonight, don't downplay your importance. You are very important for the kingdom. You have a role that's critical that no one else can do. And the Lord has chosen you for to be on planet Earth at this time. So be encouraged. Be strengthened. And, you know, I just want to say a little testimony. You know, I'm just a country farmer. I baled hay this summer, and I do ministry and so on. I'm nothing special, and you've heard me speak tonight. I'm nothing special, but I want to say all God wants is willingness. All God wants is obedience. All God wants is say, Lord, I'm yours. And God can do great and mighty things through your life. You don't have to be especially talented. It doesn't make whether you got talent or the lack of it. It's just you have availability. I'm available, Lord. And then persistence by the grace of God to keep on keeping on and see what all the Lord has. So the Lord bless y'all. Y'all keep sweet.
Father, again, we just release grace to him. We release a mighty anointing of revelation to him. Mm. Things that are needed in the days ahead. Because, Father, it's these that have been chosen to spearhead ahead of us. And, Father, when he is heading in the right direction, we're following. We're bound to hit the target. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank
you. Well, you know, it's like you were sitting in our little meeting earlier this morning because, we gathered here this morning and we were searching. The Holy Spirit had just given one basic word. And it was our parts in the body of Christ. And you stepped on everybody's toes tonight. And in a good way. Sometimes we have a hard time with what God has called us to do because we think it's so complicated. So you might consider looking at your neighbor and say you're doing it okay already. You know, a lot of times when this brother came into my life, I was in maybe a crushing space where I needed to be crushed, but I didn't know it. How many have ever been crushed and didn't know it? Well, he gave me words of wisdom, and I can remember driving back from Pinecrest, because I had been at Pinecrest for a couple of days with him, and he had given me a scripture, and of course it wasn't one that I liked at all,
But he was being a father, and he was just giving out medicine. And open your mouth wide. Don't sneeze when it goes in. Just take it. So he didn't say those words, but he implied them. So I'm driving home, Pastor Jay, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you. So it must be that time. I get to the Massachusetts Turnpike, and there's a parking area just a few miles after you get on the highway. And I hear the Holy Spirit says, I want you to stop at this little parking area, and I want you to look what's under your seat. And I'm like, I don't know anything about what's under my seat. How many know you can do something in obedience to God and forget you did it? About 8 months before that, I had gone to a celebration up in Vermont. And I had bought a series of tapes, cassette tapes. They were in a little plastic box underneath my seat. And they got jammed in there because I forgot they were there. I never listened to them. And so I surprisingly found the box, and I said, oh my God. And I heard, close your eyes. So I closed my eyes, and I heard, open the box. So I opened the box. And he said, the third one is the one you're to listen to. So I counted three, grabbed the tape. He says, and don't look at the subject. In other words, you know, there's always a tag on the, don't look at it. So I did obey. I really did. Sat in the car, plugged that thing in, and he says, now proceed. What I didn't know is that I needed to have the confirmation of what he had said to me doubled over. And on that cassette tape was almost the same conversation from another individual who had gone through a crushing process and found the same medicine with the same scriptures, and I cried all the way home. So it's your fault that I'm maturing a little bit. And I'm very blessed that you did. Now would you all close your eyes? Father, if there's a gift in their hearts to give towards this man's ministry and towards him, because while he uses it, where he uses it, that's going to be up to him. So I'm asking you, Lord, to show my brothers and sisters if there's something in their hearts that they need to participate. We're just going to leave this box open here so that you can donate. And we promise to obey the Holy Spirit as well as a church. And bless this man before he heads out. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. Share some love with each other. Obviously, greet my brother and spend some quality time with him if you have it. Okay?